So we are just talking about dealing with the stronghold of Satan, and this will be the part two of it. I'm going to mention some things because this is so important and so critical that the Bible teaches us that we must deal with the stronghold of Satan. Now, we need to explain some things in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, as I'm reading New King James Version, and may your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see that our text tells us that man has three major components. He has his soul, his spirit. The first one that was mentioned is his spirit. The second one that was mentioned is what? Is what? I didn't hear me. Is what? I want everybody to say that. Is what? His soul. Then the third one that was mentioned is what? His body. You need to understand that this is your company. That's everybody. That's the way we are. And then when we got saved, it was our spirit that was born again. The Bible said that which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. So it's your spirit that was born again. And then the Bible tells us what to do with our body. What did he say we do with our body? What did he say we do with our body? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. And then he says, discipline it. I don't have to discipline your body for you because that's your place of work. That's what you should do. Paul said, I subject my body under subjection. I control it. I don't let it do what it wants to do. Why? Because I have the power to do that. He said, I cannot be brought under the power of anything. Why? Because God has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of sound mind, the power in us. With that power, we can do all things. If I say I cannot subject my flesh, then I am denying that God has empowered me to be able to do that. That's why the Bible said the law couldn't empower you to deal with your flesh. He said what the law could not do, God did. He sent his son, that through his son, we are now empowered. So we can deal with our flesh. Every one of us can. So Paul found out and said, I can do how many things? All things. Through, so it's not on your own. We live through Christ. It must be clear to us. I've been teaching this over and over. We live through Christ. We live through Christ. We live through Jesus Christ. We live through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ. Everybody said that? You live through Jesus. You don't live without him. I can do all things through, via. If I say I'm going through Western, it means I'm going via Western. It's through Christ. The strength he gives. The new life he gave me. The new nature that I have. It's through Christ. It's through Christ. It's through Christ. Because without the vine, the branch can bear no fruit. It's through the vine. It's through the vine. It's through the new things he did for me, the cross, where he separated me, where he changed me, where he took the power of sin and destroyed it, which I couldn't do. It's through Christ. Through Christ. The power he supplies. Through Christ. So that when I begin to believe the empowerment I have been given, then that empowerment becomes a reality in my life. But if I don't believe in that, I will not be able to control the flesh because I don't have the power to do that. But it's through Christ, I can. Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. Through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ. Why I'm able to control the flesh, I'm not what I used to be. I'm a new creature now, created in true image of God. I have the Spirit of God in me. I'm the house of the Holy Spirit. I'm not what I used to be. I'm big enough to take care of this flesh because Christ has changed my nature and given me his own nature. If he can do it, I can also what? Do it. Because it is the same Christ that walketh through Christ, through faith in him. You activate that power And then you can say to the flesh, stop that. And he will, it will work for you. But if you think you don't need all of that and you can zoom out on your own, to say, no, I'm going to be holy, you will fall flat. You will fall. In fact, you do that thing worse now. Because now you are raising the arm of the flesh, and the arm of the flesh will disappoint all the time. But the arm of the Lord will never disappoint. Who is the arm of the Lord? Christ, the power of God. Amen. So, now our soul is not saved. It's not saved. Your soul is your heart. It's where you make decisions. The center of your intelligentsia. It's where you make decisions, where you process information. It's not saved. Now, these kind of things we're sharing this morning are the kind of things, if you begin to feed your soul these things, then your soul begins to respond to the word of God and begins to produce actions that respond to what God said. So our soul is not saved. Your spirit is saved. Your body you can control, but your soul, your heart is not saved. Now, the scripture tells us how to save our soul. In James 1:21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. That's all this unbelief, all these things that we make that's not accepting the word of God. So lay out all this wickedness and receive now with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save what? So our soul is saved by the word of God. So when you see a Christian whose soul is not saved, whose soul is essentially carnal, he behaves like a heathen. Because his soul and the soul of the heathen is the same type. So he processes information the same way the heathen processes information. So they all act alike. If my soul is not saved and your soul is not saved, when you start acting out of your carnal mind and I start acting out of my carnal mind, we start quarreling. If my soul is saved and your soul is not saved, you start acting out of your carnal mind. I start acting out of the mind of Christ. I start loving you while you're hitting me. And because you're carnal, you will think I'm weak and think I'm foolish. But I'm the one engaging Christ in this. And guess who gets the victory? I will get the victory. I may not give the victory in your submission, but I get the victory in Christ reaching your soul. And one time you wake up and the Lord will say, see that your brother, see how he treated you. He said, that's the way I want you to treat people. You're like, oh God, wow, why did I even do this? Oh, I'm so sorry. See, he uses him to teach you. He uses him to teach you. Hard lesson. But God is always looking for somebody to use to do things like this. But if my soul is not saved, your soul is not saved, we engage in, and I feel right, you feel right, and no matter what they tell both of us, no progress. Because this soul is gripped by carnality, and there's war, carnal warfare. If it is husband and wife, it's carnal warfare. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Your pastor is coming to your house and your voice is, in fact, if they do that, I'm going to teach them. And pastor, oh, pastor, good morning, sir. Pastor, hey, did you come to visit us? Yes, I came. Are you leaving now? No, I want to sit down. Pastor, wow, this is not the right time to come. What's the right time to come? So we have in the church, and is to be regretted, these groups of people in the church. Every leader in any Christian organization, please don't be angry with people. I'm begging you, don't. Jesus didn't call you to fight them. He called you to love them. Because you are going to have carnal people. No matter what you say, they even go and gossip about you, talk about you, because they are carnal. You are going to have them. In every church, you find them. People who are Christians saved, but their soul is grabbed. They don't even listen to the word of God. They are not interested so much. Sunday school is not their thing. Bible study is not their thing. They don't have time for all this kind of stuff. Because to them, it doesn't mean much. You know. But they have time for television. They have time for the things of the world. You know what the Bible says? It says if you love the world, the love of the Father is what? So how do you expect them to live the life of love when the love of the Father is not there? How do you expect them to really live this life of Christ? All their argument is carnal. It's based on what they hear, what they say, what they none is based on the Bible. None. You won't hear this based on Scripture. If they take Scripture, they twist it with carnal things. They're in the church. So you can preach all you want to, they're not listening because their mind is predisposed to not listening to God. And if they don't listen to God, they won't listen to you either. They have no respect for any authority at all. If you read the Bible, you see where the Bible describes them. They are like cloud without water. So they have no respect for authority, have no respect for nothing at all. Nothing is sacred to them. To he that is unclean, nothing is what? Clean. There's nothing that's sacred. They come here, tell them, stop. Nothing is sacred because the soul is not saved. And then there's some people in church who are just not born again. They're not Christians at all. Jesus said, it's not everybody that said, Lord, Lord, we enter what? There are people sitting among us in every church who are just not Christians. They can be religious. Some of them can become pastors anywhere. There are pastors who are not saved. They can become anything, but they're not saved. They're not saved. And then they become things that the enemy uses all the time. All the time. So we used to have a sister, my wife would tell you that in a church in Lagos, the big church in Lagos, she was secretary of the women or something. Secretary of what? She was something. And then after many years, she now came forward and said, now I want to give my life to Christ. He said, all these years I was not a Christian. He said, my mother forced me to go to the altar, so to please her, I went. Now I want to decide now to. She has been there for years. Right? She was an usher. No, not in this church. Can you believe that? The heart of man is very... There are people you deal with closely. You don't know them. I'm not kidding you. I've been around. You don't know them. You don't know them at all. You think you know them. They're playing around for something. You don't know people. When I deal with people, I just laugh. Like, Lord, you know, even myself, I don't know myself. But there are things I do that surprise me. You don't know anybody. You know, my son said something during the couple something, and I've repeated it to people. I said, I have four sons, so decipher which one it is. So my son said something. He said, the reason that marriage is for life is that it takes you that length to know your spouse. I heard it from him. He said, it takes you that time to what? Know your spouse. Which means you keep discovering. Somebody's saying, yeah. Praise the Lord. So, what we're talking about is different types of people in the church. You have people who are really spiritual. Their soul is saved. They are hungry for more. When you find the value, when you're eating something that is tasting good, you want more. When you find the value of revelation of Christ, you can't have enough. That's how you know them. You pay any, because now your value system has changed. The thing becomes so important to you. Paul said, well, he said, I'll give up anything to know Jesus. He said, what? He said, what have I been doing? He said, there is nothing that compares with the knowledge of, he said, I'll give anything, it's now dunk. I want to know him crucified. The thing became number one. His value system changed. When you find spiritual people, they don't joke with revelation because they know how awesome it is. I'm not kidding. And they can't have enough of it. It's like eating the soup you like or the stew. Doc, why are you laughing? He's not eating Ugandan soup. The wife is a great cook. I'm telling you, Rita can cook, man. Rita can cook. Who are there? Man, we had a good time. She can cook. So, When something doesn't taste good to you, you don't want it. But God said, if you test me, you will find that I'm what? I'm good. So if God doesn't taste good to you, you haven't tasted God. You don't know what they're talking about. Don't know what they're talking about. Revelation of Christ will blow your mind. The wisdom of God will blow your mind. I mean, you're like, wow. I never would have thought of this. This is amazing. When somebody had a revelation of grace, he wrote amazing grace. He said, wow. Is it not the same grace we all talk about and people don't even feel anything? Somebody had, his eyes was open to the wisdom of grace of God, and he said, this is amazing stuff. Somebody, God revealed to him what it means to be a son of God. He went around and said, what manner of love is what? Is this, that we should be called? You've been called children of God, I didn't even mean anything to you. But this person can't sleep because of it. So excited about it. So we have all these people in churches. So if you're a Christian leader, please don't get bothered. Don't let bother you. Keep praying. Keep what? Pray. And make sure that the people you teach don't outgrow you. Because if they outgrow you, your class will minister to them again. I'm telling you now, you're a Sunday school teacher. If you are teaching somebody and grow spiritually more than you, that your administration will be watering. You'll be talking like, no. Because it's always the higher that blesses the lesser. You can't sit there and outgrow you and they just outgrow you. What they're talking is class one. There's no anointing really in that thing. They need something. I mean, the same thing though. You can repeat the same thing though. But in the same thing, they dig deeper inside of it and dig out something more. Because you two have gone. The Bible said that the servant is always like the master. You will always come up to your master. And your master, the higher goes up, the more you go up. That's why a pastor doesn't need socialization. Because you need to be digging. Because the higher you go, the more the people come. After I visited you, socialized with you. Okay, Saturday, I was in all your meeting. Pastor, I say, good man. Hey, come to my house and I come here. What are we going to talk about? Your house? Is that what we hear people? That I came to your house? No. It's the truth that Jesus gave to the disciples and they gave to them. You have to go to him. He gives you the thing. And boy, let me tell you, it takes you hours. I'm not kidding. Is it not my experience? It takes you hours before something crops up your spirit. Because a lot of things trying to, it takes you hours of praying, studying, and this thing comes up. Wow. You start writing them. Pa, and it goes like this. Pam. Then you start praying again. And this thing comes up. Pa, like that. It's like your eyes is being open. But if I'm around visiting Mike, and I say, Pastor, you love us. So if I come here, what am I going to be teaching? Mike and Sandra? Praise the Lord. So if you're a leader, take it easy. The Lord will help you. The Lord knows all of that. Amen? I said amen. The Lord knows all of that. So you just take it easy and be praying and be patiently dealing with it. And you will see them go from glory to glory. Your joy will be to see these people that started my Sunday school class. Wow. Look at where they are. You go and hug them. Say, Lord, it's worth it. It is worth it. Man, it is worth it. Paul said, you are my reward. You are my rejoicing in all of the things we do. Can I hear amen? So now, we need to be careful. We live our life. Generally, we need to be careful. A Christian cannot afford to live a careless life. A Christian cannot afford to live a what? Careless life. What did I say? Jesus said, watch and pray. What did I say? Watch and pray. That's the instruction. So we can't live carelessly. So 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. But the instruction is to be sober and to be what? Vigilant. To be sober and to be vigilant. If I'm not sober, if I'm not vigilant, he's so tricky. He's very subtle. He is extremely subtle, very deceitful. That you need to be sober. You need to be vigilant. That's the instruction given to everybody in the body of Christ. Amen. And so we're told to guard our heart with all diligence, because out of our heart comes all the issues of our life. Out of our life, out of it comes all the issues of our life, all of it. Faith is of the heart. Doubt is of the heart. Love is of the heart. Before you fail, you have failed first where? Your heart. Bondage starts where? That's what I told these people that carry, sat, what they call them, that came to my house. What do you call them? Jehovah's Witness. They came to my house. I was so excited, so I welcomed them. So they came in. So they started to talk to me. And I said to them, I said, do you know the worst bondage is the one you have in your heart? I said, all these things you people are talking, I show you this scripture. You want to go and find out from your teacher what to tell me. I said, are you not in bondage? And the bondage of the heart is the worst bondage. And then they said, we're leaving. So they left their lipstick and everything. They left in a hurry. Because that's true. You know the thing about human beings is that we know when somebody is telling us what? We may not agree, but somehow we know. After that, I said, bondage, everything starts in the heart. And if you can't answer for yourself here, then you are not free. Somebody is controlling you. You don't think for yourself. You don't have the mind of yourself. I say, what is slavery? It's when you lose control to somebody else. That's what it is. So we must guard our heart, lest the devil takes it over. We must live carefully. We must live what? Carefully. Tell your neighbor, live carefully. So we must therefore guard our hearts very diligently, says the scripture. And Jesus said to us to pay attention to how you hear. So we must be careful, guard ourselves about what we hear. That's one of the reasons I took away the television. And I have television, but I took away the, what do you call them? Huh? All of them. And now I pay only $50-something dollars for internet. In fact, finally I called them, take your phone too, because I found out the cheaper one that I pay only $100 a year. My son told me, so I went and bought Oma, set it up, and I have phone. I pay only $100 a year. Verizon is out. Oma is in. So pay attention to how you hear. In Hebrews 12:14, it says to pursue peace with all people. Pursue peace with what? All people and holiness. Without which no one will see the Lord. Without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace. Pursue peace. Pursue peace. Pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. He tells us how in verse 15. I'm reading Hebrews 12:14. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Carefully. It's not a careless thing. Carefully. Lest you fall short of the life of grace that God has given you. Lest you fall short of ministering grace to people. Lest you fall short of being a vessel of grace. Carefully watch it. carefully watch it. Because that's the only way you can pursue peace. Is to walk in grace and minister grace to people. Carefully watch it. He said, without which no one will see the Lord, because if you don't do this, you miss your fellowship with God. So looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness now springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Doc, come. 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 Line up here. Line up here. Line up here. Turn around. Root of what? Bitterness is in me. Then Doc says, okay, then. Then what happens again? Then. Then he goes, finds a fanny. Then he finds, he goes home, finds the wife. You see how he's traveling? Then the wife goes to the job. Or finds, Mama, you know that place we go to? If I phone, in fact, this is better. So she now uses phone to transmit long distance. We're not done. The Bible said, don't let that root of bitterness be in you, that you will defy how many people may. And pretty soon I'm going to show you how dangerous it is. But supposing I start, and I say, and he said, no, Pastor, no, please. No, don't pour that inside of me. Because if you do that, I will fall short of the grace of God. I can no more minister to him in grace. He doesn't deserve it, but please, leave me. I don't want to fall short of what? So I want to pursue peace with him. I want my fellowship with God to be intact, please. I don't want to be defiled. Pursue peace and holiness, which means don't let these things defile you. And then you say, I said to him, I said, Pastor, no. And then he comes and says, what did Pastor tell you? He said, no, it's okay. That's all right. It's a private discussion. You know what has happened? That seed has died where? Right here. And these people are not polluted. And then he sees him tomorrow. He embraces him. There is peace. There's love. He is walking in grace. He is walking in grace. They are walking in grace. The only person not walking in grace is what? And let me tell you something, church. If you are dispossessed, if you have predisposition to evil, the devil will use you. I'm not kidding you. And after using you, he will destroy you. It might take a while because he will use you exhaustively. But when he's tired with you, he kills. If you are disposed to hearing gossip, he will use you. If you are disposed to immorality, he will use you to pollute people. Whatever you have a predisposition to, that's the thing that grabbed your soul. And watch what the devil will sneak through your heart and use you. Thank you. You know, in this church, the sister that got pregnant many years ago, and we dealt with it graciously. You know that 10 years down the line, some people in this church were still harassing that sister. And they pushed her out of the church. The Bible called them wolves. Pushed her out. What will you tell Jesus? He said, well, better you were not born. That you make one of these ones that believe in me to what? And she came to me and said, Pastor, they are still harassing me. 10 years, 11 years after. Wolves. We helped a little girl that had an issue. Came, and this family, which is a very wonderful family, decided to help her. And we were so glad they were helping. The wolves came to tear the girl to pieces, tear the family to pieces, for doing nothing. Doing nothing. Because the church gave a little help for 2 months or so. They said the church is doing this. The wolves. My own is, when the devil is using you, don't you understand where you're headed? Poor girl needed help. Needed help desperately. That's what the church should do. The Bible says if you see that, you see somebody has need of this world good and you close your heart, how can you say the love of God is there? Yes, you open your heart. You don't fall short of grace. You extend grace to everybody. Because by grace you were saved. Saved. So, let's read it again, Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. The Bible says, if a man purges himself, he becomes a vessel that God uses. But if you don't purge yourself, and you have business in you, you might be enjoying it. The devil will use it. You know why the devil used Judas? He was predisposed to stealing. That's why the devil found him a cheap one. Why did he use Peter? John 13:11. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. They were disciples in the same church. But the Lord Jesus said, you are not all what? Clean. In this church, you are not all clean. In every church, you are not all clean. Because he knows those who betray the cause of Christ. He knows them. You don't tell him anything. He knows what we're doing. He knows it all. John 12:6. John 12:1. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, like always. And Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Verse 3. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. And she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her. Brethren, do you see the difference between somebody who gets revelation and somebody who sits in church? Martha. See what Mary was doing? Mary was in a different ministry, anointing Jesus for his death. Mary was in a different ministry, appreciating the love that Jesus had for her. All this while she'd been thinking how to express her love for Jesus. The opportunity came. She bought this thing, she prepared for it. Martha was busy sharing. No revelation at all. Didn't even know who was sitting. He had an understanding, but not the depth that Mary saw the love that Jesus had for her. Learn something here. You can all be in the same church, but not everybody knows the love that God has. Not everybody. People talk about tithing, I'm going, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. The love God, God gave his all to you. Talk about that. Verse 3. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume. He bought the most expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her glory, her hair. Was never done before. Never done before. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who will soon betray him, said that perfume was worth a year's. See what somebody poured at the feet of Jesus. A year's wage. A year's wage. You won't give God time. Looking for a reason. Those who talk all this and go and watch their life, they are usually miserly people. A year's wage. It didn't mean anything to her. Quit means she's been planning this thing. Poured it. Went on her knees, used her hair. Because she would sit at the feet of Jesus and teachers were teaching her who I am. Her faith. When this woman gave to God her last farthing, what did Jesus say? So why should you take it from her? No. He said, Jesus commended her. He didn't say, why will she give? No. Because he knows that the God he gave to is the same God that will sustain her. He knew that. He said, this woman gave more than all. All of them. Because he knew that it's pleasing to God that God will sustain them. Sacrificial giving provokes kind of blessing you can't even begin to imagine. Because that's faith in action. That's faith in action. So, that's not where I'm going. Where I'm going is Judas. So, the perfume was worth a year's wage. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Who was saying that? Judas. So, he started to preach. Which many people do. They try to use scripture to justify their wicked actions and stuff like that. Bro, Judas said, Jesus, you know you don't know much. Let me teach you. Okay? This thing should have been sold and given to the poor. We should consider the poor. The Lord said, remember the poor. There are many people like that in church. They preach to you. You don't look at them, they're ignorant. You don't look at them. He started the sermon. Verse 6. Not that he cared for what? Why was he preaching the sermon? He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for Jesus. Is it not surprising that Jesus didn't address that is flaw in character? Is it not surprising that there wasn't any day Jesus sat him down and said, Judas, you know you're a thief. Brother, let me tell you, the ways of God are not what? There is not everything you see or talk about. I keep saying this. If you start blabbing, God starts talking to you. It's not everything you see, you just talk. Then the devil uses you. If the Lord doesn't inspire it, keep quiet. He has other ways of dealing. You may not be the vessel. Maybe you don't have the temperament to deal with it and God doesn't want you to handle it. Maybe you have somebody else who has a better temperament who can address it better than you. You don't say everything. And just get out of the way. Even when you have children, it's not everything you jump in. Not everything that happens, you jump in immediately. Jump in. The Bible says you have need of patience. When you wait, listen to the Lord, timing of the Lord. When he wants to deal with it, he will anoint you to deal with it. And when his spirit comes on you to deal with it, that's the result. But not before. Did you know when Paul was preaching, that this little girl that had demons, The girl was harassing them day and day. Paul didn't address that. He didn't address it. He waited. I believe strongly that it was when the Lord wanted to deal with it that he was anointed for it. And he went straight for it. And got instant result. He didn't start the first day. The girl was doing it day after day, kept quiet. Because you must be led of the Lord, because he is the champion. It's he that fights these battles. Amen? So, 7. Jesus replied, leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. See the mystery? God was using her to do something that others didn't even understand. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. John 13:2, supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. See, the devil entered because Judas is predisposed to doing that. Amen. I said amen. Church, I said amen. It's important that you yield yourself to the word of God to purge you, purge me, and save our soul. Don't toy with that. So we need to sieve out every pollutant from Satan. Philippians 4:8. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, and is honorable and seemly, whatever is true, whatever is what? True. Whatever is what? Let me tell you something. Secondhand information is not always true. It has been altered to provoke you the more. It has been blemished for good effect. Guess who did that? The devil. To rile you up. His target is your soul. He wants to rile you up. So you fall short of the grace. So he has to present it in a way he knows that will provoke you. By the time it's third-hand information, it has been altered some more. Because he altered it according to the personality he wants to attack with it. But if you know, I won't tell you, I would have told you. In fact, I don't want to tell you. Look, I don't want to spread gossip. But the Lord knows what is happening in this church. I want to tell you, if I come, let me tell you. But don't tell anybody now. You know, this dramatization is to hype it up. The target is you. It's to hype it up. So you say, this must be serious. Then you open your bucket and and when he passes, he greets me. I didn't know all this. Okay, now you know what I'm going to do. Be careful that you don't fall short of the grace. That's the Holy Spirit has finished. It's up to me. It's also what? What you do with it. What we say, church, and what you like to hear, this reveals the kind of spirit that controls your life. Once you start talking, anybody has basic discerning will know the type of spirit that controls you. You don't have to talk much. You can even preach like Judas. Look at 1 John 4:4. First John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is where? They are of the world. Listen to this. They are of the world. Their soul is gripped by the world. Therefore, they speak as the world. They speak as the world. They don't speak grace. They don't know what grace is. They speak as the world. And the world hears them. People who have the same worldly mindset will hear them. They will hear them. Verse 6. We are of God now. He who knows God, what? Hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know. What do we know? I'm verse 6. Verse 6. It says, but we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they will not what? Listen to us. That's how we know if someone has the spirit of truth. Can you lift it up? Up a little. It's not coming. Is that all? Okay. If someone has the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, that's how you know. It's easy. Matthew 12:34. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good? So when you see people who are speaking evil, you know they are not good people. That's what the Lord Jesus said. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Praise the Lord. I didn't say this. This is the Lord. He said, once you hear people speaking evil, because they are evil people, their heart is evil. It's not saved. So Ephesians 4:29. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good, only such speech as is what? Okay. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out from your what? Mouth. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to spiritual. It's not going up. Progress of others. So if what I'm saying doesn't minister spiritual progress of others, the Holy Spirit says, don't say that. Don't you say that. Because you are falling short of what? Grace. And you can't get peace with that now. And you can't get holiness with that now. Because holiness is to say things that are pure. To do things that are pure. It's not holiness in terms of, no. It's a you pursue peace and holiness. Which means, let the things you do be wholesome things that minister grace, that brings the love of God. Because love is the bond of perfection. He said, progress of others as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give what? Grace. God's favor to those who hear it. They don't merit it. They don't merit it. But you say the good ones. That's what the Holy Spirit says. If you want me to use you, that's what you do. Amen. Church, amen. Can you imagine husband and wife doing this? That is heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Doc, you are laughing. That's awesome. Heaven on earth. He doesn't merit it, but I will say what is useful for her spiritual what? Well-being. Doesn't merit it, but I don't want to fall short of grace because I'm a vessel of grace. Doesn't merit it. I don't merit the one God does for me either. Praise the Lord. Church, are we together? You know, this is why people pray and pray and pray, nothing's happening. Because the spirit that is controlling them is not God. I'm telling you the truth. And the company you keep determines, reveals who you are. Based off the same feather. Yeah. Once your friends are gossipers, let me give you a secret. If you want to marry, I will help you now. Stop all this. Don't ask too many questions. Find the person's closest friend. You find the character. Once you can locate his closest what? That's the way he is or she is. Because they can't be close friends unless they have the same interest. Based of the same feather, you can't be close friends with me. If I'm stealing, you can't. But if I'm stealing, are you two? Then we become partners in crime. Do you know that immediately that the devil went, that Judas' heart became polluted, he found new fellowship. He found new fellowship. It's in the Bible here. Luke 22:1. Now the festival of unleavened bread was drawing near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to do away with Jesus. You see the people he had joined now? People seeking how to do away with Jesus, for they feared the people. But then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12 apostles. And now he went away and discussed with what? Chief priests and captains how he might betray him and deliver him up to them. Why? They have the same purpose, the same mindset. They are based of the same flocking. Let me tell you something, church. I line up. Your company tells who you are. I'm not kidding you. If your company, if your companion are drunkards, you drink. You are hiding it. You take a little shot once in a while. And they come and say, it's your church. I like the way you, I like this kind of church you they do. I don't like Pastor Chinedu's type. Then we won't drink. If we don't drink, how do we do culture? Say, yeah, that's true. You want to betray your pastor now? Yeah. And under your bed is all the cartons. Yep. But go and see how many people alcoholism is destroyed. How you could sponsor such companies is beyond me. Go and see what it's doing to kids in universities. Go and see what alcohol is doing. Ask people and see if that's why you want to invest your money and support such ventures as a Christian. Is there no better way to spend your money? Is there not something defined you can give to people? Supposing we come to Holy Communion and we start serving whiskey here. Wouldn't you say, what is this? Huh? It will revolt your conscience. Why? Because it's not right. Judge ye for yourself. If it's not right in the house of God, it's not right in you, because you are the temple of the living God. Can I hear amen? Amen. So the Bible says, come out from among of them and be you what? Separate. Because evil communication corrupts what? Let me read Proverbs 13:20 to you. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall ultimately be what? Destroyed. That's where he headed. Because the devil wants to kill, destroy. And then after Judas has done all of this, Acts 1:18. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity and falling headlong. Falling, what? He burst open in the middle and all his what? Gushed out. See how the devil killed him. He said, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The most wicked type of death, that's what the devil subjected him to. Killed him. That his stomach burst out. The force with which he hit him, that was not natural force. Force with which he hit Judas with his head, bam, that his stomach burst out. It's a terrible type of thing. First Peter 3:10, I'll close with this. I have one more scripture to read. First John 3:14. We know. What do we know? That we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life. Pardon me. No murderer has eternal life. That's what I'm telling you. The kind of things we say will reveal who we are. Do you know, if you want to know whether you're a Christian or not, let me give you the simple test. The simple test of faith is action. The Holy Spirit says, show me your faith by your what? Action. If you say Jesus is Lord, it's your action that will reveal whether you believe it or not. If you say I'm healed, your action will show whether you believe it or not. Action. For where there's no action, the faith is dead. It doesn't exist. If you want to know whether you're born again or really not, check your responses to Jesus. Jesus said, by their fruits is the action. When you hear the word of God, check your responses. Does it mean anything to you? Or just push it aside and be doing what you're doing? You probably don't even know who Jesus is. And that's why the Bible says, he who does not love does not know God. Because if you know God and believe in God, believe in Jesus, it's an automatic thing, is you will love. Let's not kid ourselves. Something that Jesus said, he said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few will find it. You know that way? Faith in Christ. But he said, broad is the way. That is the way of human wisdom and all this religious stuff that we do. Then 1 Peter 3:10, I'll close with this. Am I communicating? 1 Peter 3:10. For the scriptures say, brethren, this is the Holy Spirit wrote this Bible. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life, you want to what? And see many, that is days in which you don't have sickness, you don't have all these many happy days. Not that sickness will come, trials will come, sometimes they last though, but God will see you through. Amen? In the midst of that, you'll still be happy because you know in whom you are believing. It doesn't mean trouble-free, but when trouble comes, your faith is solid. Now, if you want to see, enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Is it too much instruction? Okay. Then 11, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace. How do you search for peace? Minister grace. Search for peace and work to maintain it. My mentor told a story, very interesting story. That's the last one I'm telling you now. He said once he ran into a man who was in his 80s, and then the man told him, he said, Kenneth, he said, my hair is all black. I've never lost a tooth. I don't know what toothache is. And he said, I've never been to hospital. And he said, I'm still as much a man now as I was when I was 20. He said, if you doubt me, ask my wife. He said, the wife giggled. I mean, 80-something, 88. He said, Kenneth, I don't pain nothing. And he said, wow. He said, I looked at him and I realized his teeth were really full and no black, no white hair. And he said, I said to myself, but my hair is white. And he said, Kenneth, come, let me tell you something. He said, I learned early in my Christian life to keep this thing. So I kept it. I've kept my life. What did the Bible say? Keep your, he who keepeth his tongue, keepeth his life. Keep your tongue. Let the Holy Spirit use it. If the devil uses it, it is you he's after. It's not the other person. He that has ear to hear, let it hear. Did you get something? Can you bow your head, please? And think. Let's